strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
Chandler Jones, the new Cardinal sack king. Buda Baker with the sack. Throws end zone for Fitz, goes up, and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over!
From Cardinals headquarters.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's gonna be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that!
Unleash the fury!
Off season? What do you mean, off season? I mean, not when it comes to NFL news, the headlines and the happenings that we're getting almost daily, heck, almost hourly. I mean, if it isn't another key hire by the Cardinals, we've got future franchise quarterbacks on the move. And then you have the Big Red Rage brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. I know Wolf is ready to go because he just watched the Justin Timberlake presser in its entirety, so he's ready to go. If you don't know, Wolf is a big fan, huge fan of the Super Bowl halftime extravaganzas. Have those DVR'd from going back decades, Wolf, so very well done on your part.
We don't need it, Paul. We don't, right? Are you kidding me? The offseason, forget about that. So much going on right now, is there not?
I mean, not only is the Cardinals staff coming together, and it's not complete.
Yes.
Not yet. Remember Steve Wilks, the new head coach, said, all right, by the Super Bowl, they'll have everyone in place. But we already have. I never expected to get key trades, monumental transactions, on February 1st. I mean, we still have 6 weeks until the official league year opens, and already those dominoes are falling, and those pieces are moving around the chessboard. And right now, the Cardinals do not have a quarterback under contract. So, yes, the intrigue just continues to grow.
Well, at least they have a head coach. That is a good thing right now. They have a head coach, of course. We know that, Paulie. They have the coordinators as well. They've all been identified, right? Mike McCoy is the offensive coordinator. Al Holcomb, of course, as a defensive coordinator. Jeff Rogers as a special teams coordinator. The staff is not complete. The quarterback question hangs. It looms, does it not? And it's just a fascinating study in philosophy, right? And actually going out and doing it, reality, or drawing it up on a grease board conceptually. This is a beautiful study in the art of football.
And one press conference at a time, we're starting to learn about the new head coach, Steve Wilks. And there was a moment during the introduction of Jeff Rogers, the new special teams coach, 14 years coaching teams the last 3 years with the Bears, and he said, and I quote, "To be on special teams is a privilege. Mm. If you want to impress me on special teams."
Mm.
And I thought of you, Wolf. You as a rookie coming in and trying to make that team. And what was your avenue to the NFL at that point in your career?
No doubt about it.
Special teams.
Wedge busting in particular, right? I had an epiphany, Paulie. Literally lined up and covered my first kickoff. Ran down the field. Had no idea what I was doing. Went into the wedge, head over heels, full speed, because Nico Nogad snuck behind me and pushed me in the back. And I went head over heels into this wedge. And do you know, the next day, Jim Hanifin started the team meeting with that play and said, "That's exactly the kind of play we need on special teams around here." And he put it up. And Paul, the epiphany, I realized that was my ticket in the National Football League. Hopefully there's going to be some Cardinal players that will have a similar experience.
Well, he made a point of it repeatedly during that press conference, saying as well that, special teams, there's going to be an emphasis. It won't take a back seat. He cited the recent history and some of the recent criticism. So there's no doubt that there are boxes that are being checked as we speak, one question at a time, one key part of the offseason. Right after you get through the Super Bowl, you're going to get the combine, and then you'll get the lead up to the draft, and then perhaps you'll get the future franchise quarterback, and somewhere in between there, the league year will start, and maybe you'll get a big trade, or maybe a free agent signing. We'll get into the quarterbacks that are available out there. Kirk Cousins, maybe. All we know, Wolf, is there's going to be competition. There are a lot of teams, at least a half dozen other teams now, that are going to be right there with the Cardinals trying to answer that quarterback question.
No, absolutely, Paulie. And not only that, I don't think you could look at the signing of Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator and say, aha, because he has worked with so many systems and so many personnel at quarterback. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
We're going to name some names next. We're going to hear from Mike McCoy. We'll really get into what we think the Cardinals offense could look like. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You look at our offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, a guy that has tremendous experience in the National Football League calling plays. He's worked with receivers. He's worked with the quarterbacks. I'm very excited about Mike coming on board. Tremendous character, a great family man. And I'm extremely happy to introduce and welcome Mike McCoy as our offensive coordinator.
All right, that is the head coach, Steve Wilks, and the guy calling the plays got his name called this week, Mike McCoy. And the fact that he's a former head coach certainly didn't hurt his chances with his new head coach. Definitely a selling point, definitely an asset. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Steve Wilks are talking about Mike McCoy. And you talk about his background, and yeah, he was the head coach in San Diego for 4 years. In fact, he was up for the same job that Bruce Arians earned here with the Cardinals back that same offseason. And then he spent this last season with the Denver Broncos, and he's worked with a whole range of quarterbacks and a whole bunch of different offensive styles. And I heard it said that around the NFL, here's a guy who's really respected for his football knowledge and acumen. And that within the game, he might get a lot more respect perhaps than he might get from fans just based on his head coaching record those 4 years in San Diego. He's known as a coach's coach.
No doubt about it, Bully. This is a guy, this is a huge hire for Steve Wilks. Not only because Mike McCoy actually has head coaching experience when he was the head coach of the San Diego Chargers for 4 years, right? I think that's going to be an excellent confidant for Steve Wilks, but also just because he's been in so many different systems and he's actually coached so many different kinds of players as well. This is a big deal right here because you've got the Arizona Cardinals. They do not know who their quarterback is going to be. They have no quarterback signed under contract right now on the roster. Think about that, Paul.
I mean, if you're a defensive coordinator, one of the division rivals, and you're trying to figure out, all right, what sort of offense are the Cardinals going to be, and I'm going to get a head start in the offseason.
Exactly.
You have no idea what the identity of the Cardinals offense is going to be.
You've got Mike McCoy, a guy that as a player, he was brought up with the Admirals, right? The Amsterdam Admirals.
I didn't know that, actually.
West Coast offense.
Okay.
He was in the West Coast offense, and then, of course, you have Don Coryell, his offense. He also understands the numbers system, the numbers offense, 987. I still remember. That's what Jim Hanifin, of course, used when I came into the league in 1985.
I didn't know that either.
Don Coryell, right? So you've got Tim Tebow in the college zone read package, right? He actually did that in Denver, of course, won a playoff game with Tim Tebow as his quarterback. And then you've got him also working with the likes of Peyton Manning and the complexity of Peyton Manning's offense and what he loved to run. Are you kidding me? He's worked with everybody from Tim Tebow, personnel-wise, all the way up to Peyton Manning and all the different offenses in between. This is a guy that has seen it all. And I think he's uniquely situated to be the offensive coordinator for a team that doesn't know who their quarterback is.
You talk about an offensive coordinator installing his system. I would imagine when Peyton Manning came in, Peyton was installing his system, and you had to learn his system if you were Mike McCoy. We'll get into that because we'll have a chance to go one-on-one with him later in the offseason, I'm sure. But he's so flexible that during the course of the press conference, someone mentioned the terminology and what sort of challenge. And actually, I asked him about the learning curve for players because we saw that the first half of the first season with Bruce Arians. And he mentioned he would actually confer and consult with some of the players. And whatever terminology seemed to be the easiest, he would go with it. He's a guy who appears that he's been in so many different systems with so many different quarterbacks, and he's been a quarterback himself, that he's just going to straight up cater to the players. And that's how flexible he is, which I thought was a great sign, a guy who's really experienced in that regard.
No doubt about it, Paulie. I can tell you, Bruce Arians and his system, it was different, the terminology. And when you think of terminology in the National Football League, what the people need to understand that are listening right now, terminology, it's like language. It literally is like language. What you may call an apple, I'll call something completely different, Paulie, right? It's just a different word. You have to understand the language to understand the concept. And terminology has got to get taken care of. And I love the fact that Mike McCoy said, you know what? No, he's going to actually confer with these players, to your point, Paulie, and say, you know what? I'll go ahead and acquiesce and say, you know what? Yeah, let's call it that. I can do that. Because of his experience. That is huge. Bruce Arians came in 2013, and terminology messed it up for half a season.
Well, and it came about because he was actually talking with Larry Fitzgerald, and that was a question from Larry. What sort of terminology are you going to use? Because he was obviously used to Bruce Arians and then Ken Wisenhunt, but then Mike McCoy and Ken Wisenhunt intersected a couple of times in San Diego, so McCoy said he had the ability to use some of Wiz's playbook or at least some of that terminology. And the media kept asking the question, well, what's the identity of your offense and the system and what are you going to run? And then quickly realized, well, he wasn't just holding the media off and being evasive. He doesn't know until he gets some answers on his roster, and here's what he means.
You know, we have a lot of work ahead of us moving forward. Our roster, we got a lot of time before we play that first game. So when the offseason program, the players come in, we're going to have our core. We're going to find out what our players do best. The roster is going to continuously change. We're going to churn the roster, and it's going to keep on going. So the key thing, I think, as a coach and as the offensive coordinator is find out what our players do best, and we'll adjust accordingly.
Although, let's be honest, a featured weapon of the Cardinals offense in any system, any scheme, will be David Johnson.
I'm presuming
that's where he's going to start, right?
You would imagine. You know what? Honestly, right now, if I were Mike McCoy, and this is just a guess, Paulie, I would imagine Mike McCoy is watching every game that David Johnson played in the last year. Every game that he played, I'm not talking about last season, I'm talking about the year before that he played, 2016. Yeah. Go back and look at film on that. And I would also say, look at Pittsburgh Steelers film with Le'Veon Bell. I kid you not, Paulie, if I'm Mike McCoy, that is the first thing I'm going to do. I've got this guy, this special player, David Johnson. You better believe I'm going to look at how B.A. used him, because B.A. used him beautifully in 2016, right? Used him perfectly. I'm going to go back, I'm going to look at that film, and then I'm going to look at Le'Veon Bell and how the Pittsburgh Steelers used him. And I'm going to put an offense together based on that.
It's funny because he shared another little tidbit from his conversation with Larry Fitzgerald where he's talking about establishing the run, and that has been a big-time emphasis already as Steve Wilks. We're going to be a balanced offense. We're going to run the ball. If you can run it out of defense, it's demoralizing for any defense. He comes from that side of the ball, and Larry actually cut off Mike McCoy. He said, now, Coach, you got to remember, David Johnson's much more than a running back. I mean, he is a legit receiver-quality guy running routes. And so, you know, if he didn't know that, he will soon if he's watching the film.
Yes, exactly right, Paulie. And you know what, honestly, Mike McCoy knows that.
He knows that. he knows it.
He knows about David Johnson and the fact you can line David Johnson up inside in the slot or even kick him out as the number one receiver on the edge and have him run wide receiver routes. Mike McCoy knows that, okay? But now he's got to break it down. He's got to break it down. He's got to catalog it, and he's got to put it into a playbook, and he's got to be able to call it something. So if he's going to have to call it something, why not call it something that David Johnson is already familiar with?
Well,
makes
you know
a lot
what?
Of sense, and Larry Fitzgerald for that matter.
It's a great question, maybe even a rhetorical question, but it's definitely a question that Mike McCoy answered.
We'll talk about a staff. We'll put the book together for the offseason program, and as the players get here, if they've got some suggestions, I'll be open, but I also will make the final say on how we're going to call things, and that's my job. It's the same thing with the coaching staff. We're going to have all these ideas we're putting together, but then we got to cut back and say, this is going to be our install schedule. And then as we go through the offseason program, we're going to teach the system.
That reminds me of Todd Bowles. Remember how many times Todd said, oh, yeah, I welcome input and feedback from the players, even during the game. If you want to tell me something, it's great. Doesn't mean I'm going to act on it. Doesn't mean I'm going to incorporate it, but I'll listen at least. That seems to be the approach of Mike McCoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think it's such a feather in the cap for the Arizona Cardinals to get an offensive coordinator like Mike McCoy. You think about it. He's worked with young and old, accomplished and rookie, run first and throw only quarterbacks. Think about that. In every system known to man. This is a big hire to get Mike McCoy, and one of the reasons why I'm really excited to see what kind of offense he puts together in the offseason.
We'll name some names next. All the names that he's worked with, just how different they are, what that means for the Arizona Cardinals. If they have three quarterbacks on the roster, you might get one from each category, for example. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
There's a question mark right now. We all know it's the elephant in the room, all right? We don't have a quarterback. Steve and I have addressed that issue. We sat down with Michael as well already. We're going to have a very active and aggressive plan through free agency, and we'll see exactly what's going to happen within the draft.
Will we find out in mid-March when the league year begins? Will we find out in late April with the NFL draft? Somewhere in between? We don't know. There is no answer right now. But you got to figure that upstairs in that war room, Ron Wolfley, and we're here at Cardinals headquarters. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. That war room that is strictly off limits to media guys like us and is padlocked in like three different places. You got to imagine there's some sort of big board, not only for the draft, but some sort of ranking of the possible quarterbacks who could be in play as you get into the league year on March 14th. There has to be a number of different scenarios for the Cardinals to land the starter, the backup, and maybe a rookie to be.
It's called the Q board, I would imagine, Paulie, right?
Right.
The quarterback board. Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I mean, this is, yeah, you're right. It's not just about who you may actually look at in the draft and acquiring the draft in 2018. This is about who might be out there right now, whether it's trade, whether it's free agency, whatever it may be. They've got to have that board. I'm with you on that.
One of the questions to Mike McCoy during his press conference was it a challenge for you to take a job without knowing who your quarterback is? And here was his answer.
We understand the importance of the quarterback position, but we'll always look at what's in the best interest of the organization with every decision we make. But it's a great challenge, and I'm excited for it. You know, come in here and figure out who that quarterback's going to be and, you know, build the system around those players that we have here.
And the Cardinals have a guy who's a quarterback expert. He's played the position. He's coached the position. I mean, he's been in so many different systems with so many different quarterbacks. If you're looking to assess the next quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, you're definitely going to incorporate the opinion of Mike McCoy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Paulie. And once again, which direction they're going to go on this quarterback thing, that is the question that we all have. What direction? Well, Alex Smith, of course, we all know the reported trade that has happened out there with Alex Smith, and it appears as though he's headed to play for the Washington Redskins. So I think you can look at that based on the reports, again, that are out there, where they're talking about signing Alex Smith to a four-year contract. They're already throwing numbers out. $70 million guaranteed, $23.5 million per year on this four-year deal. That is not a bridge quarterback right there, Alex Smith. You are not going to go ahead and sign a quarterback to that kind of money, that kind of contract, and then look for a young guy that you could bring along in those 4 years. That's not the way to do it. That's not the way nobody or anybody is going to do it in the National Football League. So to me, I think you can take Alex Smith. You can definitely rule him out. And Kirk Cousins is another guy on this list, right? On the Q board that we all know they have. Kirk Cousins. How interested will the Arizona Cardinals be in Kirk Cousins?
He'll probably get more money. By the time it's said and done, he might be the highest paid player in the game. By the time the Jets and the Broncos, maybe the Cardinals, the Jaguars, you're going to at least have three teams in on the bidding sweepstakes for Kirk Cousins, don't you think, Wolf?
Yeah, I do believe that. There's going to be more than three teams that I think are going to be very, very interested in that. And all it takes, three teams, and you've got a feeding frenzy on that quarterback right there. So, yeah, I think you could look at Kirk Cousins almost. This is just me. Again, nobody has told me a thing about this. Pure speculation, because I do believe the Arizona Cardinals want to get a young guy and bring him in here. A young guy that could be the answer. I'm not talking about a guy you're going to pick in the fifth round or the sixth round. I'm talking about a young guy in this year's draft that you look at and say, you know what, that guy could be the guy for us going forward. Which means, of course, you're going to have to get a bridge guy. Kirk Cousins is not a bridge guy. And because of that, I almost am writing Kirk Cousins off because of the feeding frenzy that's going to happen around him in free agency.
And he could be cost prohibitive. You're absolutely right. They have other needs. There's no doubt about it. I tend to agree with you. If they're going to invest the assets in a trade, I think they'll trade up in the draft as opposed to trading for another team and a 30-something-year-old quarterback. I think they want a short-term and a long-term answer at quarterback.
I agree with that.
That's my belief. What sort of quarterback would Mike McCoy prefer? Here we go.
One that's going to win a lot of games. You want a guy who's going to be a leader, a guy who's tough. You sit back in that pocket, you're going to get knocked around a little bit. You got to get back up. You're going to throw an interception, but can you bounce back? So it's all about winning. So we want to get a guy who's going to win a lot of games for us and a leader, most importantly, because they're all different shapes and sizes. That doesn't matter to me.
Boy, they are all different shapes and sizes, right? What does that mean? There are no other names out there, are there not, Paulie?
And by names, let's just start with who he's worked with. He told the story of how when he came to Carolina, the early stage of his coaching career on offense, they had Rodney Pete as a starter. By halftime of the opener, he went with Jake Delhomme, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked with Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow and Peyton Manning and Denver, Phillip Rivers, obviously. Then he had two young quarterbacks last year and Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. So he's worked with the whole gamut of guys. And there's a whole other slew of quarterbacks out there, including perhaps a Sam Bradford and or Case Keenum from the Vikings might be available.
Very interesting right here. Nick Foles.
Nick Foles
could be had because you know the Philadelphia Eagles are going to look at that and Howie Roseman's going to say, oh, my goodness, wait a minute, you're going to offer me what? We might actually get a fourth-round pick. I'm just throwing that number out there. We might actually get a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles. Boy, honestly, sell high. If, in fact, you get offered a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles, knowing that you've got Carson Wentz coming back, you can always get a backup quarterback. You can always get that guy. I don't think anyone is looking at Nick Foles saying Nick Foles is going to be a franchise quarterback. Because of that, I think he's a perfect bridge guy. You got Josh McCown, who might be out there. You already mentioned Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford. And don't forget this name, Paulie, right here. Right,
throw it at me.
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh,
don't forget about Jacoby Brissett with the Colts. A guy 6'4", 240 pounds. He's still only 24 years old. A guy that had an excellent season filling in for Andrew Luck this year. He had over 340 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns as a matter of fact. He had an 81.9 quarterback rating. It wasn't great through 7 interceptions, but he did have 13 touchdowns. Jacoby Brissett is a guy that you might raise your eyebrow at and say, you know what? What could we possibly get him for? So don't forget about that name.
You know, you go back to the Week 2 win by the Cardinals at Indianapolis. Jacoby Brissett was not the problem. He was more a part of the solution than he was the issue for the Colts.
Indeed.
I mean, they have gaping holes everywhere on that roster. And for him to have twice as many touchdown throws as interceptions on that team, behind that offensive line, and that season they had, now that's a great. And the other one, and I go back to when he was drafted. I know the Cardinals were bullish on Sam Bradford, and there's always been an affinity and a respect for Sam Bradford. Now, is he fragile? Is he fragile? Absolutely he is. But that might bring down his price. You might be able to get away with a 2 or 3 year contract that you get out of earlier without as much guaranteed money, thereby paving the way for your young guy at an earlier stage. That could see to me that's much more feasible than going all in on an Alex Smith for 5 years at big money.
No doubt about it, Paulie. I could easily see Sam Bradford possibly being in the basin.
And with the Cardinals defense, you just get a guy at quarterback who can execute and go from there. That's what we'll talk about next. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Al is someone that's been with me for the last 5-6 years. And he's a guy that I trust. He's a guy that I know that is committed. And he's a guy that I know that's accountable, not only for himself, but his players. And I was one of the first guys that I wanted to bring with me, and I wanted to be able to get on his staff. And I'm extremely happy to introduce our new defensive coordinator, Al Holcomb.
Yeah, we needed an introduction to Al Holcomb. Steve Wilks most certainly did not. They've been on the same staff the past 5 years, and as you heard right there, he made a point to make Al Holcomb his defensive coordinator when he came over from Carolina. That was the same capacity Steve Wilks served in for the last year. And those two, and he even said, as we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, he said, Wolf, that yeah, he's going to spend more time in the offensive meeting rooms, the special team meeting rooms, not nearly as much time in the defensive meeting rooms, at least in the early stages of his tenure as Cardinals head coach, just because he knows Al Holcomb so well, knows that side of the ball so well.
Right.
Right from the get-go, he knows that Al Holcomb knows what he wants, and it's because of that communication and that connection that really, you know, along with the obviously the assets that Al Holcomb brings, that he felt comfortable naming him is DC.
Yeah, you know what, Paulie? I love the fact that Al Holcomb has worked with Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly in particular.
Wow.
I absolutely love that. Look, this is a coach is conditioned just like anybody else for the most part, right? He needs a model just like anyone else. Being around those types of players, Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly, the best inside linebacking core in the National Football League by my estimation. Those two guys right there, smart, heady football players that can play in coverage. They don't come off the field. It doesn't matter. First down, second down, third down, Paulie, third and obvious, they don't come off the field. It's exactly the way it used to be. Remember with Patrick Willis, right? And Navarro Bowman in the San Francisco 49ers. What a huge advantage it is when you have two inside linebackers that do not come off the field. In any situation, you want to go nickel, 4-2 nickel all day long with those two guys inside. And you want to be able to shut down the run with a nickel package when you have two inside backers that can ball like those two guys. Al Holcomb's got a front row seat to what should be the expectation inside. The type of guy that you're looking for, the type of pro that you're looking for inside. Now he can take that knowledge and transfer it to the entire defense. Love it.
That 2014 playoff loss by the Cardinals at Carolina, not the NFC Championship game, but the year before where they were the better team, but because they had the third-string quarterback, Ryan Lindley, in there, you had Kuechly and Thomas Davis. Those guys were the difference in the game.
Yes.
Kuechly had the two red zone interceptions.
Yes.
Those guys were the difference in that game. Of course, the Cardinals don't have those guys. It's a totally different set of personnel. Now, wait a minute. It's still a top five, top ten defense each of the last 3 years, so what does that mean when it comes to defensive identity? Well, Al Holcomb was asked that question.
We're going to try to create negative plays. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to do things based on what we need to do to win the game. And if it's by pressuring, we'll pressure. If it's by playing front and coverage, we'll play front and coverage. Again, you know, it's just going to come down to who the opponent is, what the offensive scheme is, and then how we want to attack it based on game plan.
But just like Steve Wilks, he said, it's going to start with stopping the run. It always starts with stopping the run.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Stop the run, right? Give me a shutdown corner and then a team that tackles and knows how to tackle. What I love, though, you heard him say that, front and coverage, right, Paul? Maybe we're going to bring pressure, or maybe it's going to be front and coverage. Oh, I love that. It's like a warm blanket right there. You know what front and coverage is?
Break that down for
that
us.
That is the chung. That's the base.
Okay.
That's the ability to bring four and drop seven and play coverage. You're really not doing anything. You're not doing anything special. You're rushing four, whether you're playing a 4-3 or a 3-4 defense. You're rushing four. You're dropping seven. Front end coverage. That's what we're going to play. We'll make you go ahead and work the ball down the field, right? We're not going to give up big plays here. Or, for all you know, we may go ahead and say, hey, here come the Huns over the wall. Or we're going to bring a lot of fire zones, complex fire zones, where maybe there's going to be four to a side, and anything that's four to a side, even if you're bringing five with a loop on the nose, where the nose is actually containing on the weak side, and you bring four to a side, that's a blitz right there. But I love it, because that's the chi. That's the extraordinary right there, right? So I love the fact he's talking in these terms, and I love the fact that he's talking about doing multiple things, and it makes a lot of sense. Why would a defensive coordinator in his first press conference get up in front of the microphone and tell you what he wants to do? He wouldn't. He'd make you think, I'm going to do anything.
But, you know, the moment Steve Wilks was named the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, everyone presumed, oh, boy, they're going to blitz even more now. As if James Betcher already wasn't uber-aggressive enough. Look at Steve Wilks. He was one, first or second in every single blitzing metric. But then he just said matter-of-factly, if we can get home with four, we'll do so. we're not going to necessarily bring the numbers just to bring the numbers. If we can get that pass rush and get pressure and hit the quarterback with four, we'll gladly drop seven.
I will tell you right now, Paulie, it's really interesting identity, right? What's your identity right here? There are some coaches in the league, Greg Williams, there are some coaches in the league that this is their identity. It's about them. And they'll get the players to go out and do exactly what it is, right, that he wants to do.
My name and brand is on this defense.
That's exactly right. And then there are others where their identity is what type of players do you have? See, Greg Williams is trying to jam the round peg into the square hole because that's his identity. You need a coordinator that's going to go ahead and actually fit the pieces, the players he has, to the defense.
5 years in Carolina as a linebackers coach. What's his thoughts when it comes to what makes a good defense?
We have, as Coach Wilkes likes to refer to as our DNA, and, you know, playing with violence and effort, playing smart, taking the ball away and finishing. But also we have core values as well. It starts with us. It starts with focusing on us and trying to get better each and every meeting, each and every day.
And as we told you last week on the Big Red Rage, he will call the defense. Mm-hmm. Steve Wilkes has given him the defense. He will be the play caller. And he did say, you know what, the biggest challenge for Cardinals players will be my terminology. He does have his own terminology, and he did say that will be – he said they'll be able to learn it, but yes, there's going to be a learning curve to start with for everyone on defense.
Boy, that's really interesting because it's not only just defensive coaches that are going to have to learn that. It's also Mike McCoy and the offensive coaches as well to be able to communicate to each other as to what you want to see. Hey, could you go ahead and run this kind of defense, says Mike McCoy to Al Holcomb. Well, you got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to speak the same language. Interesting.
Okay, so with that in mind, you know what a lot of people have already wondered. Wait a minute. The Cardinals have been running a 3-4 under Todd Bowles and James Betcher. And in Carolina, Steve Wilkes, Al Holcomb, they ran the 4-3. How significant is that, Ron Wolf?
I really don't think it is for the coaches on the tactical level. Remember, the tactics say how you're going to do things, how you're going to go about it. 3-4 or 4-3, I really don't think that matters on the tactical level. It's the strategic level. When you're talking about a general manager like Steve Keim and Steve Wilkes working together with Terry McDonough and the staff to say, what kind of players are we going to bring in here? Because if you're going to go with a 4-3, typically you're going to keep more defensive linemen than linebackers. If you're going with a 3-4, you're going to keep more linebackers than defensive line. It's not an all-the-time thing, as we learned over the last couple of years, where the Arizona Cardinals running a true 3-4 with Chandler Jones as the hybrid outside linebacker, they kept nine defensive line. I've never even seen that, Paul, and you know that. Yeah. I was going nuts about that.
Well, I mean, there are games like when they went into Dallas and got that win on the road. They went with four down linemen in the entirety of the game. That was the game plan. Great coaches adapt, and they adapt to the opponent and whatever you need to do to win.
But you got to build it at the strategic level as a general manager.
True. Hey, join the 2018 season ticket wait list. You'll have your chance to purchase new season tickets before the general public at 602-379-0102 or azcardinals.com/waitlist. Patrick Peterson next on the Big Red Rage.
Intercepted in the end zone by Patrick Peterson. Throws a deep ball right side. It's overthrown and a one-handed interception by Patrick Peterson inside the 15-yard line.
You might want to look at the other side, bro. You don't want to throw at that man.
Throws over the middle and it is nearly picked off. It is intercepted by Patrick Peterson and the Cardinals are going to win the ball game.
Little career snapshot right there. Our Jim Omohundro hitting the rewind button. Some of the highlights of the great career of Patrick Peterson. 7 years, seven Pro Bowlers, six as a shutdown corner. And on the Pro Bowl Sunday, the number two in P twice stood for two more interceptions, which actually is twice what he had in the regular season. He had a single pick in the regular season. He had two in the Pro Bowl. As we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. And, you know, Patrick Peterson, he's a driven guy.
Yes.
And after the game, expressed some frustration, Ron Wolfley, that he did not make the All-Pro team, which is very difficult to make.
Yes.
I mean, even Aeneas Williams made it, what, twice?
Yes. Larry Fitzgerald, once.
That's hard to believe.
Think about that for a minute, Paul.
Once.
Larry Fitzgerald made it once.
Okay. So this is the elite of the elite to be named All-Pro. And, you know, he has supreme belief in his abilities. And I think, obviously, he's vented it as much. You know, there's some frustration. He believes he's the best in the game, but he doesn't always get to show he's the best in the game because nobody throws his way.
You know, the conversation's got to start with this right here, Paulie. What is the definition of a shutdown corner anymore, right? The definition of a shutdown corner in the National Football League in the year 2017, 2018 of our Lord is how much do you give up? You're going to give up some yards. Why is that? Why is that the case? Because you can't put your hands on a wide receiver the way they once did, Deion Sanders. It's not even close. You're kidding me. There is no such thing as a shutdown corner the way that there used to be. Because you could go up there and just beat up a wide receiver on your press man, right? The illegal contact rule has totally handcuffed a lot of these corners. So it's really about how much do you give up anymore when you talk about being a shutdown corner. Patrick Peterson is a shutdown corner in today's terms of the highest order. He is. He does an excellent job, as we all know. He's over the other team's best wide receiver. He ought to accept that role and be happy with that role. But from time to time, Patrick will let you know he'd like to be more involved.
Because he rarely gets tried, he rarely gets recognized in the way that he thinks he should. It's sort of like a great home run hitter who keeps getting walked intentionally. He doesn't get to swing the bat.
Yep.
And so there's been some speculation where the Cardinals changed that up. And Patrick Peterson has been vocal, and in general, Steve Wilks was asked, well, dare you welcome to feedback and input from players?
I tell you, one of the things that we will do, and I think one of the greatest things as a coach, you got to have the ability to listen. You know, when you start talking about open line of communication, we're going to listen to the players. Now, we're going to always do what they ask? No, I can tell you that right off. But we're definitely going to be open to their ideas because, once again, they're out there. They're seeing different things. But with a guy that has that kind of talent, of course, we want to make sure that we're giving him every opportunity to be successful.
If the other team has had a number one receiver, it's almost been an automatic that Patrick Peterson was going to shadow that receiver for the entirety of the game. Now, there were some games where a team didn't have a dominant number one or that guy was hurt and he would play sides or would play some zone. But do you think they would seriously consider changing his role significantly?
No, I don't actually think that's going to happen, Bully. Stop and think about it. The logic right here. When you can take a Patrick Peterson and line him up over a guy that you know is the other team's best receiver, that's a fact. Julio Jones is the Atlanta Falcons' best wide receiver. Yeah. So much of the time, Paulie, you can look at a team, you can look at an opposing offense, and you can say, that's their best wide receiver. So let's take Patrick and put him over there. That is a fact for the most part. You don't want to play Patrick Peterson against tendencies. And that's what Patrick, I think, has alluded to in the past, right? He's alluded to the fact that he wants to be more involved in the game plan. What's the down and distance? What's the formation? What's the personnel? What are their tendencies? And why don't you put me over a guy where I can actually cover him because they have a tendency to go to the number two receiver from a trips formation in this down and distance, right? Instead of doing that, just take him and put him over the best wide receiver. To me, that makes the smart thing to do.
All right. Well, on the Red Sea Report, Roy Green, the great Roy Green, his name is up in the Ring of Honor. And remember, he's played both sides of the ball. He started out as a DB before he went to become a great Pro Bowl receiver. So here was his theory. Listen to this.
What a lot of teams will do is sometimes they will put their number one corner on the second receiver. Then you double the first receiver. When you can mix it up and he looks over there and says, oh, Patrick's over here. Let me go to this guy. No, oh, wait a minute. He's doubled. Now he gets hits in the ear. Maybe a fumble, you know, change of possession, whatever it may be. So I like the fact that they're going to move Patrick around.
That's presuming that he has a change in his job description. Now, I'll give you an example. What about the Dallas game, right? I mean, he went in there and he shadowed Dez Bryant. He didn't get targeted once when he was covering Dez Bryant. So would you change that up in the future? Would you double him with a safety over top, then put Patrick Peterson on the number two?
I would just rather take away a guy, take him out of the equation that is the other team's best receiver than become predictable. I think when you put him over the penultimate receiver, that being the number two best receiver on your team, now all of a sudden, you know, okay, wait a minute. Now, why are they moving him over that guy? Because that's Julio Jones. And where's the safety on the pre-snap? Suddenly you become predictable for a quarterback in what kind of coverage you're going to run, as opposed to just putting Patrick over Julio Jones by way of example, once again, where you could just go this way. You could go thumbs coverage. Thank you, Jeep Chris, for telling me about thumbs coverage, where you just got a guy locked in, man cover. Everyone else is playing a different coverage, except for the guy that is locked over, shadowing the other team's number one receiver.
I like that. The thumb is different than the fingers, hence the thumb coverage, a singular assignment.
That's exactly
right, Paulie.
That's great.
Right, I love
Paulie.
That.
It
I love
really
that.
Is. So, again, for me, I want to leave Patrick Peterson in the role he's in right now.
Has the media failed Patrick Peterson? Have the analysts failed Patrick Peterson? Nobody really does what he does, and that is shadow a number one receiver for the entirety of the game, snap after snap. He is a singular guy in that regard. Does he get enough credit for that?
No, the fans have failed Patrick Peterson. You know what needs to happen here? You need to go back to Pro Bowls and voting for all-pro teams, where you do it with players and coaches. They know who the best is.
Players, no players. What about the players in the Super Bowl, and what do we think there? That is next. It is a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Robert Kraft, along with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, have their 27th playoff win and their 8th conference championship together. They're bound for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis.
For the first time in 13 years, the Eagles are headed for the Super Bowl and a rematch with the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52.
The Patriots and Eagles radio networks as we close in on Super Sunday, the Eagles and Patriots, and there's at least one distinct advantage the Patriots own, and it's got to be experience. They've been there and they have done that. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, their 8th Super Bowl together. And, Wolf, we are part of the 2008 season in that Super Bowl in Tampa, and it's crazy. I mean, Super Bowl week is a frenzy. It comes at you fast and furious. Do you think that is a significant advantage for a team that has been there before?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The New England Patriots have a huge advantage. Just not only, Paulie, the players, right, and what the schedule for the players ought to be and when you're going to practice and how you're going to practice and all of the other things game plan-wise that you're going to do. It's not just that. It's just the advantage that you actually have in planning overall, the logistics of how to actually do that as well, right? The equipment guys and how they're going to move the equipment. There's just a huge advantage when you've done it before, let alone to the degree in which the Patriots have been to the Super Bowl as of late.
All right, now we do morning radio. We're not always up that late, but I DVR Jimmy Kimmel from time to time. His security guard, Guillermo, at the Super Bowl. Roll it.
Here it is. That's the coach right there. His name is Bill Belichick. Hey, coach, why did the coach went to the bank?
I don't know.
To go get his quarterback. You get it?
You're gonna be on TV as a comedian.
You have one of the greatest smiles, sir. You should smile more often. Tom. Hey, how do you get your teeth so white?
I tell you, I need to get them whiter. How do I do that?
I think maybe drinking soda or tequila.
Tequila?
Yeah.
I love tequila.
Me too. One more question. Heads or tails?
Heads, always.
Me too, yeah. High five. How do you say his name? Jay Ajayi. Jay Ayoyo?
Jay Ajayi. Let's say it together.
Jay Ajayi. Like Ayayayi?
Like Guillermo? Is it Guillermo?
Guillermo.
Yeah, Guillermo.
Ayayi.
Ayayi.
Coach Bill, can you sign my Tom Brady cookbook? Everybody sign
it. Yeah, when I get done, I'll sign it, yeah.
No, right now. Here,
just real be quick. Patient, buddy. Just be patient. When I'm done, I'll sign it. This is an interview session.
I gotta go to a restroom.
Well, go ahead and go then. You don't need my permission for that.
No, I just need your signature.
I'll sign when I get done with the interview, okay? This is an autograph session. It's an interview session. You got it? Great. Next.
Wow.
That probably evokes a memory from your days as a player for Bill Belichick. Got it? Great. Get out.
Yeah, I can just see the smile on his face or the lack thereof right. as he says that right there, Paulie. Is that the guy with the puppet, by the way? Guillermo? No?
No.
The guy with he acts like a dog?
That's going back. That's,
is that really?
Yeah, that's Triumph the Insult Dog or Triumph the Comic Dog or something. Back a good decade.
Guys, really?
Yeah.
He's not around anymore?
No, not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. But,
okay, sorry, Paul.
No, that was but I do give it up to guys like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady who are locked in on the Super Bowl and they have to deal with those sort of antics. I know it's only for an hour, but as Kurt Warner said back in 2008, if you just embrace it and try and enjoy it, you're much better off in your mindset and your mental health by the end of the week. Put it that way, because you can't do anything about it.
Can't believe the puppet guy is no longer around.
Special thanks, Jim Omohundro, Cody Fincher for Ron Wolfley and the puppet guy. I'm Paul Calvisi, the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, look out!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, boy?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.